It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. 102.5, 106.3 the game. It is Chase and Big Joe. He happens to be Big Joe. I happen to be Chase McCabe. He happens to be Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos. JoJo, what's up?
Well, it's a good day because nothing massive happened yesterday. We're all still here. And Powerball is up to $1.1 billion tonight. So make sure you get your tickets.
Yeah, I'm going to go get a ticket. And I will show up tomorrow no matter what because we're at Kitchen Notes at the Omni.
Oh, so that's right.
I'm never going to miss Kitchen Notes. But if I win that thing Friday, good luck to all of you.
What's your Powerball number? What's the one you always, if you had, you know, because you get the five, then you got to pick the Powerball number. What's your Powerball number?
Three.
My man, 21 right here. Everything's a derivative of three. So 21 and three. So yeah, good.
Yeah. Say that's why we're best friends.
Because 21, I research, has hit more in Powerball, has the Powerball than any other number. So just keep playing the odds. And there I'm not go. A nerdy analytic guy like you nerd analytics are, but I'll
just say his name, Willie.
I'll stick to twin. Is Willie analytic? No,
Willie
he's
loves
old
analytics.
School. He Will, can't be.
Nah, he loves analytics. Oh. Right, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a numbers guy.
Oh, that one cuts deep.
He's kind of both.
Because I tell you, if analytics were around in the 70s and 80s.
They were. They just weren't as prevalent as they are now.
If you could make a quilt with numbers and weave them in and out, it'd be Willie Donick's bed.
Earl Weaver. As manager of the Orioles in the 1970s is not using analytics. Billy Martin has a World Series.
They were. They're just different.
Winning manager is now. It's called gut feeling. These guys were using a gut feeling to make things happen.
That might have been the chili dogs they ate. You never know.
What? It worked.
It, yeah.
Tommy Lasorda, who Nick Frazier loves, is doing gut feelings.
Yeah, well.
Did you ever meet Tommy Lasorda, Nick?
Sure I did, yes, over at John A's. He signed a couple baseballs for me.
Good man.
I think I still have his phone number.
What you call him?
My phone. Well, if he answered, that could be something.
That'd be a hell of a show right there, man.
Do you do that? Like, I have, you know, from whether it's personal or work, like, I have a ton of phone numbers that I haven't deleted.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, exactly. I told you I butt dialed at the gym Adam Schefter one day.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like numbers of people that are no longer with
us. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. And I do that Facebook thing where you just go down, wish happy birthday to a bunch of people.
Yeah, and then you realize that,
Then you go back and try to get it, and it says remembering so-and-so, and you're like, and then you get all depressed because you're an idiot, and then it's just a typical day in the life.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
who are we waiting on, buddy?
Roman Josi going to join us here in just a second. Predators, look, don't let the score fool you. And I, you know, I don't always like doing that, but it's true. If the Predators keep playing like they played last night, even though they lost, they're going to win. I mean, they're going to beat St. Louis. They're going to beat the Islanders. They'll beat the Devils.
Thank you, Tony Robbins.
They just puck luck last night. I mean, Roman Josi hits a post that, you know, on a wide open net that probably ties the game up. And but Boston, or actually that might have given him the lead. Boston scores late with two goals, and then they get the empty netter, and ultimately the score is 3-0. But I don't think they should be ashamed of how they played last night. Unfortunately, it just didn't go their way.
I mean, it's now you've lost three straight, got no points.
That's 6 points you've left on the table, which is not ideal.
Hey, man, they got you 38 in a row.
I understand.
They'd be tied with Winnipeg, as Chase is saying. They're
right.
6 points.
And now,
I don't play that game.
Right.
Sorry.
But now, with 90 points, they're three ahead of Los Angeles for the first wild card spot. But tomorrow night's game against St. Louis is a massive game.
Huge,
now,
right?
Because
so how far are they behind?
They have 84 points, so they're 3 points back of L.A.
Ooh.
6 points back of the Preds.
Okay. Right,
the Preds are still in a good spot, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you need to turn it around tomorrow night.
Okay. Wow. So. That's the great thing about hockey is that you don't have to wait too long to get the bad taste out of your mouth and go out and play, and the game is muy importante tomorrow night, and you win that one, you feel good again. Who's the next game after St. Louis?
At the Islanders.
Oh,
and then at the Devils. So you got a Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back.
Yikes. Well, if you could split those, it's not bad. Win tomorrow night, split this road trip, and then you're good.
I mean, honestly, I feel like you should be – now, I know the Islanders are fighting for a playoff spot in the East. Devils are out. But I feel like they're capable of taking both of those games.
Okay.
So,
well, look at
but
you.
But I get what you're saying.
If I'm Andrew Burnett, I'm hiring Chase McCabe as the feel good guy.
Oh, that's me.
Everybody comes in the locker room and it's like, how are we doing today?
We're going to feel good.
We lost 9-2.
Dr. Feelgood.
You lost 9-2. You're like, hey, man, but we got two. It's better than getting one. You're the feel-good guy.
I'm the glass half full.
What's the thing with P.K. Subban not drinking a beer last night? I saw all this on Twitter.
He had a drink, but it wasn't a beer. It was a drink. And then he tried to chug it. And
didn't go down so well?
No.
I love the things people get fixated on. It's just pretty cool. Yeah.
Tim says on our text line 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, what do you all think of the Preds power play? It was another reason, you know, they lost last night. I mean, they couldn't get anything going on the power play. And we will ask Roman Josi about that and much more as he joins us now on our phone line. Roman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. You know, I was just saying before you came on, last night is one of those games where I know it has to be frustrating as a player, because if you play like that 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to win. Now, I know we'll talk about the power play, but, you know, it was a tough-fought game with a tough team, and I know you didn't get the result, but what were your overall takeaways from the game last night?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. I mean, I felt like it was fast, and felt like a playoff game a little bit. There wasn't much space out there, I think, for both teams. And both teams had their chances. And like you said, I thought we played 5-on-5. We actually played pretty well. And, you know, going in the dirt, it's 0-0. So, like, it can obviously go either way. And I felt like we got better as the game went on. And we were kind of pushing in the second a little bit. And even in the dirt, I thought we played a pretty good period. And obviously gave up that shorthand goal, which was kind of the deciding factor in the game.
Yeah, and with the power play, I know Bruno said that maybe you were a little slower than you have been on the power play. What did you see from your perspective? You obviously, I can't remember if that was 5-on-5 or the power play. You had a shot on a open net and hit the post and just had some bad puck luck there. But what did you see on the man advantage?
Yeah, I just felt like we couldn't really get set up for most of the power plays. Sometimes we got in, but then we didn't really, they pressure pretty hard, so we couldn't really set up. And I feel like against teams like that pressure hard, and you need a lot of support, and you need to make some little plays and kind of break that pressure a little bit. And I feel like we couldn't find a way to do that, except for we had a couple looks. Obviously, I had an empty net there, which was a great play by Evangelista and Tomi, but yeah, other than that, I felt like we just didn't generate enough. And I think sometimes even if you don't score on a power play, at least you want to create some momentum. And we kind of failed to do that yesterday.
Talking to Preds captain Roman Josi on the Chase and Big Joe show. Roman, during the great streak that you guys had, somebody made a comment that said y'all's attitude, they couldn't tell whether you're winning or you're losing. You kind of kept the same temperament, and now through these three games, these three losses, unfortunately, it's kind of been the same thing. Do you like that? You don't get too high, you don't get too low, you just go out and do your job?
Yeah, I think it's important, especially in a long season. And we feel like we always kind of just look at our game honestly, and obviously you want to win as many games as possible, but I felt like yesterday was a good step in the right direction again. I felt like Arizona and Colorado, we didn't play as well. Felt like we created a lot, but we also gave up way too many chances, gave up too many goals. So wasn't really our style of hockey. And I felt like last night we kind of got back to that. And, you know, there's 82 games, and there's just going to be some nights you're going to play well and you're going to lose. Some nights you don't play well, you might win. But I think whenever you leave a game and, you know, you did a lot of good things, you did enough good things to win, I think it's easy to live with that, and that's kind of what you try to focus on, just on the process of playing your game and playing your style and trying to get better each game.
Now, with that being said, I mean, how much fun is it now? I mean, now you got a huge game tomorrow night. St. Louis comes to town. It's April. Playoffs on the line. So there's got to be – I mean, at some point you want to go out and just – I know you want to win the game, right? But also, this is why you play. I mean, it's April. It's hockey. It's playoff on the line. How much fun will this be tomorrow night to go out there in that environment at Bridgestone?
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's another big game. It feels like we're playing a lot of big games in even the past month. I mean, even when the streak started, there was so many huge games we had, and it feels like you said, every game kind of feels like a playoff game. Last night felt like a playoff game. I felt like even in Denver when we played Colorado, it was an intense game. The crowd was into it, and I think obviously like with us having that streak and everything and playing well, like a lot of times you're gonna get the other team's best game too, and which makes for a fun game all the time. And obviously tomorrow is a big one. St. Louis are there right behind us, so it's gonna be another playoff game, another playoff atmosphere, and I know Bridgestone will be rocking, so we're excited for that.
Predators captain Roman Josi is on the line with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. And I know that, you know, you guys go through the streak, and a part of that streak was the play of Juuse Saros and Kevin Lankinen, and both of your goaltenders were fantastic. And, you know, when things maybe don't go their way, like we saw, you know, in the couple of these losses, how personal do you take that of, you know, knowing that, hey, these guys do so much for us, we got to help them out too?
Oh, yeah, we take that very personal. I mean, I think every time you give up that many goals in Arizona and Colorado, it's you're not very happy, especially as a defenseman and even our forwards. I mean, the whole team, like, because those guys been our backbone the whole year, and Juice was amazing last night again. Those guys win us so many games, and there's so many things they do for us. So we kind of left them hanging in Arizona and Colorado. Gave the other team way too many great looks, and that's always something personal for us, because those guys are amazing goaltenders, but also amazing teammates. And you see the work they put in every day, and how hard they work to be the best. So we're very lucky to have two goalies like that, and we don't take them for granted. So whenever we leave them hanging, we're not too happy about it.
Now, you know, sometimes we get caught up in what the national media says about you guys, and I know you guys don't care about that, but there was a pretty prominent analyst in the building last night that I know you know pretty well, in P.K. Subban, who has been waving the Predators flag. How cool was it to have P.K. back last night? And also, I know that you and him, you know, he started Blue Line Buddies. You've kind of kept it going, being able to do some stuff with that as well.
Yeah, it was great to see him. I saw him in the morning and then at night too. It's always fun to see him, and I know he loves Nashville, and obviously he started Blue Line Buddies, which is an amazing cause, and we were lucky enough to keep it going, and it's such an amazing cause, and for him to come back and just be around the guys for a little bit, and for the fans to see him, obviously he was a fan favorite here too. And I like just talking to him, I know he loved his time here, he loved Nashville, so it's great to see that his legacy and Blue Line Buddies and all that stuff can keep going. And like I said, it's such an amazing cause, so it's a lot of fun.
Can we work on him with his, you know, they put him on the screen last night and he tried to chug his drink, which was probably a bad mistake. Can we work on it?
It's not his strength. Not his strength. It wasn't a beer either. I don't know what it was, but
it looked pink.
It looked pink. Like it was something hard to chug.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Roman, appreciate the time this morning as always. I know you guys got to get ready for St. Louis, but always a pleasure, and go get him tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Roman Josi, Predators captain, joining us here on the program. And, look, I would have been in the same boat. You know, I can't even chug a beer anymore. So,
right, yeah.
You know,
I'm not impressed if you shotgun a beer. I'm not impressed.
I just don't, you know. That. But PK is a man of the people, and that's, you know, he was trying to have some fun. So
probably, I mean, I just apple juice maybe. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I would have like a prop drink ready to go that I knew I could.
Yeah, like all the actors do, man. Just have all that there.
Something like that. So the Predators fall 3-0 last night. And again, if you're just looking at the final score, then you probably didn't watch the game. And my suggestion is go back and watch it, because the score is not indicative of how that game went.
I have a problem with you saying that, and I'll tell you why.
All right, we're going to argue again, aren't we?
Yeah, I got a problem with that mindset.
Okay, fine. 615-737-1025. It's the Chase and Big Joe show here on this Wednesday, 1025-1063, The Game. Beyonce. I need to clear that before we play Queen Bee on this show. No, I'm just kidding. he took me seriously too. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
We're
on this Wednesday.
To death, man. Of course he does.
I know.
I'm going to say no to the boss, man.
Yeah, no.
It's right.
Predators fall 3-0 last night against the Boston Bruins. Be listening. We'll have another chance for you to win a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway. I'll get you a NASCAR trivia question sometime over the course of the next hour and a half or so.
All right. So
so you have a problem with my whole take on the score is not indicative of the whole game.
I hate it because it's all like, oh, we played good, slap on the back. You got beat.
I understand.
Be mad. You got beat. And so the mentality of like, well, they played really – you got beat. So there should be
so I'm just supposed to say they suck, they lost.
I didn't say that. But don't accent me the positive when there is no positive. You got beat 3-0.
Right, but I mean, you can lose games and still play well.
End of the day, you got beat.
They played a tick better and you got beat.
You got beat.
Understand. Right? I'm not denying that.
Let's not shroud this with a birthday party atmosphere.
I'm not giving a birthday party. I'm just saying sometimes the score, like, I can't stand, and there are few former hosts that have been around in this market.
Johnny Carson? Okay.
That used to just look at the box score. And it's like they would base their whole opinion off the box score. Like, I've seen it all over the country. Like, people just look at the box score and they base their whole opinion off the box score. If you're going to talk about the game, watch the game. And the game tells a different story. So you're right. They lost 3-0. Yep. They got beat.
They got beat.
But that's not the whole story. And I am all about telling the whole story.
That is the story.
No.
You got beat.
They got beat. But again, if they play the way they played last night, now the power play is one thing. They got to score in the power play.
Right.
But we had a text where it was like, oh, so you scored no goals. 9 times out of 10, you're going to win. I understand you didn't score a goal last night. You got beat.
Right.
But the way they played good enough to win that game. They just got beat by a better team.
I'm looking at the standings, okay? And nowhere on the standings grid does it say they played hard and got beat. It just
says I understand that. So what do you want? What do you want me to talk about then? You want me to just say, hey, they got beat last night. They got to play St. Louis tomorrow.
Tell me why they got beat.
They didn't score enough goals.
Okay.
So I'm not supposed to give substance or analyze.
Can.
We're just in a black and white
world. But
don't
tell me you play hard when you got beat.
But they did play hard.
Don't tell me you played. You got beat. I think we take away from the bottom line of winning and losing. I think we become so weird as a society that, you played hard, you got beat, but you played. No. Tell me why you got beat. I want to know why. And what do you do better to not get beat the next time? That's what I want to know. This whole thing of, not just you, a lot of people do it of, well, you know, they got beat 5-3, but man, they were competing the entire game. No, they weren't. They competed the entire game,
they
would have won.
Okay, there are different types of losses. There are different types of wins. Every win's a good win, but teams win games all the time. They don't deserve to win. You agree or disagree?
But at the end of the day, it's what?
They won.
That's
I get
exactly
it.
Right.
And you can do the whole, like, college football. There are no style points and, you know, whatever.
They're not.
But I mean, if we're going to talk about this on a more expanded level, like, I think it's appropriate to say, hey, they didn't play bad. Like, the previous two losses, they deserved to lose because they had points in the game where they played, like, absolute crap.
Okay. You tell me that, you know, certain players, the goalie and all this didn't do their job. And that's fine. I get all that. But say they played hard, you know, they should have had it. No, they didn't. If they played hard and should have had it, they would have won the game. That's my thing. At the end of the day, you got beat. You lost the game. All right. Now the 18-0-2 streak, they went up fantastic. They deserved to win. They played well. They played sometimes better than the opponent, and things went their way. They competed and went hard. I mean, if they'd have won last night 4-3, we'd be sitting like, hey, man, Boston played really hard. They did really good on all this. No, you lost.
Right. Look, at the end of the day, you lost the game. I'm not disputing that. You lost the game. You went 0-4 on the power play. That's a problem. You know, Brunette's talking about that they were faster than you on, you know, when you were on the power play. That's a problem. Okay, so therefore, yes, you got beat. But Roman just said it. There were aspects of their game last night, 5-on-5 especially, where they played good enough to win. They just didn't at the end of the day. But and why? So again, if they play like they did last night, tomorrow, they're probably going to win.
Okay. What is your confidence level they play like that tomorrow night?
90%. Right. I think they come out swinging tomorrow.
Why didn't they come out swinging last night?
They did come out swinging.
But they lost 3-0.
Okay. It doesn't mean they didn't come out swinging. Like, you're sitting here going, you were saying that if you lose, you're not trying.
Yeah. Basically.
That's BS.
You didn't do enough
win. That's
a terrible mentality people have.
How is that a terrible mentality? Not to try?
You lost.
Okay. Sometimes you
don't
lose.
Don't pat me on the back.
Sometimes you lose.
Don't pat me on the back.
I'm not patting you on the back. You're across the room from
you
me.
You lost. All right. Let's work hard. Let's try better today.
Sometimes you go out there and you bust your ass and you lose.
Well, language. Okay.
Like sometimes you go out there and you don't try and you win.
Are you proud of that? You shouldn't be proud of that.
I'm not proud that they lost, but I'm proud that they tried.
Go out and fight. I mean, the next time, go out and fight. I mean, that's
I mean, like, I watched that game last night, and yeah, it sucks that they lost 3-0. But, like, I'm not going to sit there and crap on them for their effort. I know, like, okay, you're going to sit here and say this is the everybody wins mentality and, you know, everybody gets a trophy. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm not going to sit here and just say that they played awful when they didn't, even though they lost.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a 90%. You put 90% on the line tomorrow night for the Nashville Predators to take down the St. Louis Blues. All right. All right.
They will crush St. Louis.
Right. I'll ride with you on it.
615-737-1025.
I just like the fact that you should be, all right, we played well, but we lost. That should be upset today.
I am fascinated by, like, looking at the text messages of how split they are. Like, Matthew says, Big Joe's 100%. People are too soft nowadays. Either you win or lose.
Best friend. Thank you, Matthew.
7640, Joe is so wrong. Billy, Joe, sometimes you got to look at how you lost so you can get better to making it where you really don't.
That's fine. That's not accepting getting beat. That's like, we got to
do
this better next time.
Getting beat. You're taking this that I'm accepting that they got beat. And I'm like, hey, it's okay, guys. Like, I'm just pointing out that they played well. They just lost. They still lost. The other team is better than you. Like, can we say that? Can we agree on that? The Boston Bruins are better than the Nashville Predators. Newsflash. They're probably going to be in the Stanley Cup. Like, they are better than the Nashville Predators. That's the big reason why they won the game. That's facts.
All right. Is that your attitude going into the game, too?
No. I'm not playing the game either. I'm sitting here talking about it.
Well, you're being a jerk. So, I mean, that's. You
how am I being a jerk? I'm just.
Time on that.
Whatever. 0388. Joe's not a hockey guy, so he doesn't understand.
I understand winning and losing. It's all every sport, winning and losing. Stop with the we played hard enough. My goodness. The Falcons played pretty hard in the Super Bowl against the Patriots for 3 quarters, right? They didn't win the game. I mean, give me a break. It's winning and losing. I'm not saying one game defines a season, but you got beat. So let's don't have a party and say, well, we played hard. We got beat. We played really hard. But, you know, hey, let's go on. Yeah, get mad. Find out what you did wrong. Fix it and go out and play tomorrow night and win.
5337, we lost to a better team. Doesn't mean we didn't bust our ass. I'm with you, Chase. It's also the best team in the East.
So now the excuse part of the show. All right, so they're better than us. So we.
But then 4650 says 100% agree with Big Joe. Losing is never acceptable, Patrick.
Thank you. I mean, it's 50-50 on this, and I agree. But I don't know, the mentality of like, well, we played hard, get in the morning. No.
1423, you guys stop fighting or I'll put you in the corner.
As long as you feed us, man, I don't care. Why don't you bring us food? We're good with that.
Hair Metal Henry says shut up to you.
I'm just telling you. I mean, it's just we hit a nerve with people. Is that the fact that sometimes we've to the society, we've get to the level of, well, it's okay to do this. No, it's not okay when you lose. It's not okay. That's just me.
All right.
Then when you win, celebrate. That you won.
They're going to win tomorrow.
I'm with you. I hope they win every game.
They will win tomorrow.
I want a Stanley Cup here in June. People that have moved here did not experience what we went through in 2017. It was magical. Yeah, they lost a Stanley Cup, and it should burn forever. It should burn, and now you get the chance to go back and do it again. Day by day, man. Like John Rambo. When they ask Rambo how he lives at the end of Rambo 2, he says, John, how do we live? What does Rambo say? Day by day.
Thank God he didn't say brick by brick.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by Regal Realty Group. Coming up next, we'll get into some football with our man John McClain from Houston. We'll do that next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 9:30, we talk to the great John McClain from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. We're fired up this morning. So, you know, this conversation could get spicy. You never know. But
I hope it will on your part, because I am not fired up at all because of the way the Astros are stinking it up to start the season at Minute Maid Park, including a preposterous 2-1 loss last night on the way to 1-5. And at some point, you guys are going to have an expansion team, and you'll be talking baseball every day.
I'm curious of that too, because I have friends that work in baseball markets, and my friend in Chicago that obviously they have everything, and they have two baseball teams, and they talk about one baseball team religiously, and they don't even mention the other one. So that's kind of how it works.
Well,
there,
because the White Sox have been so bad for so many decades, and at least the Cubs finally won a World Series. But boy, once you guys get approved for the expansion franchise, and it is going to happen, it's not a matter of if, but when, people there are going to go so crazy about baseball, because it's a great sport and it'll be new, like most places. And we're that way in Houston. We're a city of front runners. If the Texans are bad, people buy tickets and not show up. Stadium might have 40,000. Same way with the Astros. Same way with the Rockets. Fortunately, now the Rockets are playing really well. People are fired up about the Texans and the draft, and the Astros are 1-5 at home, including going 0-4 start the season against the Yankees.
John McClain is with us. So L'Jarius Sneed was introduced yesterday to the Titans media, and as you can imagine, John, I mean, he was asked many, many times. He came on our midday show and was asked about it, about the knees, and he keeps saying, Titans fans have nothing to worry about. My knees are fine. I know what and he kept saying, I know what I need to do to take care of my knees. Does that concern you when a player says, no, I know what I need to do? He's basically saying, yeah, there is something wrong, but I'm not going to say there's something wrong.
Well, they would not have made that deal if they had put him through every possible kind of medical test he could have. And he didn't, of course, want to stay there under the franchise tag. And he got his rings. And when you get the rings, you want to get paid. Really, you want to get paid first, then you want your rings. So he's in a great place career-wise. And I think if there was concern about his knees, then Rand Carthon would not have made that trade.
Yeah, John, that's the thing, is people weren't, his knee, but I don't know all the parameters and the protocols, but I'm thinking the Titans went really through a deep dive with his knee, talking to the Chiefs. I mean, I think they did their due diligence about how his knees are. If not, then, yeah, there's a problem, but there's no way, John, they went in this thinking, taking his word for it, right? I mean, they went in and
looked at
that.
They give him physicals, and they're not going to pay any attention to the Chiefs. Chiefs can lie like crazy. You go by what your people tell you, and they felt comfortable making a deal physically. He played great last year. The Chiefs, from what I've read, knew they weren't going to be able to bring back the Chris Jones plus him on the franchise tag, and they didn't want to pay him like what he was demanding. He wanted more than what Titans got him for. I think it was a great deal for the Titans to get him with draft picks, and then to get him for, he's still not close to being the highest paid corner in the league, and he played great last year. I saw that stat that he covered the opponent's leading receiver 65-point-something% of the time, which I think was the most in the league. We think, oh, that guy's a great corner. He covers the opposing receiver all over the field. No, most of them cover a side of the field. And I think it was a great deal. Say say he does have knee issues, you know, it cost you, what, a three and something else. It was definitely worth it because if he goes in, and even if he plays close to what he played the last 2 years, the Chiefs, it's still going to be a great deal.
John, looking at this football team, the Titans, you can look at them in January to now. How much in your mind has this team improved to be competitive, not only in the AFC South, but in the National Football League with all the great pickups they've done in free agency?
Well, I think they were competitive last year. Look at all those close games they lost. And they had a lot of issues with the line, with the rookie quarterback, with receivers. So they and losing Jeffrey Simmons was catastrophic, and they still came close to winning games. And so that's competitive. Now the difference is, can they win? Can they do like Houston did? Can they go from worst to first? It's possible. But despite everything that's been done and will be done in the draft and more free agents who are cheaper, it still boils down to Will Levis.
John McClain is with us from Houston. So as I go into a mock draft season, and it's about every day now you see somebody's mock draft, I'm starting to see a trend where the league or the drafters have fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy. And in some cases, the top four picks are quarterbacks. Now, I still don't see that actually happening, but you never know. Are you buying that, though, John, that there could be a team that's so desperate to find a quarterback, maybe it's Minnesota, that they take a flyer on McCarthy, even though I personally don't think he's a top five pick?
There are a lot of teams desperate for quarterbacks that don't have a top three pick. And McCarthy is the classic case of a guy in shorts and a T-shirt whose stock is skyrocketing because of how he's looked in shorts and T-shirts and how he sounds in interviews. And that's great. He may go to the Hall of Fame. Rick Goslin, who's one of the best writers in NFL history when it comes to the draft, he had a formula in a column he wrote for rickgoslin.com this week in which he talked about a barometer. He searched and came up with one. And everything, there are exceptions to everything, but what he came up with was quarterbacks who threw at least 1,300 passes in college. And I believe McCarthy threw 711. Now, was the system he played in, the system that had a great running game, had a great offensive line at Michigan, but he still had to throw the ball. And you can watch every throw he made. You can get practice tape to watch every throw if you want to do that. And you should be able to tell, does he have what it takes to throw the routes you want thrown? And so I have no idea. It's scary to me that a guy who can shoot up the board based on what he does in shorts and a T-shirt. And we've seen that before. And I think the fact that Jim Harbaugh is constantly talking about how great he is, how great he will be, and he had the best pro day in history and the best combine in history. And for some reason, people are buying into that and not considering that Harbaugh has the fifth overall pick and is somehow team traded with Arizona to get a pick to use on McCarthy, then he would have his choice of every non-quarterback in the draft, or trading down to pick up a receiver and an offensive lineman, which is what they really need. So people have really bought into McCarthy. I'm not. You know, I like the guys people have been talking about since last season because they did it on the field. And we do have, you know, Will Arizona at four take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Will they trade down? If the Chargers trade back with, say, Minnesota, and then, okay, Minnesota thinks we're going to get J.J. McCarthy. But then what if somebody like the Giants trades up with Arizona? They get J.J. McCarthy. So if you want to be guaranteed at getting McCarthy, you better talk to the Cardinals, and we'll see if it's going to be four quarterbacks in a row. I do not believe we will see four quarterbacks with the first four picks.
I don't either. He is John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain.
Yeah. Hey, John, with the draft coming up, I go back. We're talking about quarterbacks and hype and things that have done. I look back at the 2000 draft, and this might be an odd question. When Dallas took Quincy Carter in the second round as a quarterback, ugh, when everybody was like, what in the hell is going on there? And I remember there was a lot of hype built up around him. Is that what we're seeing, the same thing, what you're talking about with Harbaugh and now and J.J. McCarthy?
No, Quincy Carter was only rated that high by Jerry Jones. His scouts told him, you don't need to take this guy in the second round. We can get him in the fourth round. And Jerry said, oh, my contacts say, we better get him in the second round. There's people that like him. Of course, they took him. They could have gotten him in the fourth round. There's, Quincy Carter can never be used in the same sentence with these guys because only one team valued him as a second-round pick. These guys are legitimate first-round picks. And I tell you, I am really excited about the top of the order. We think we know who the first four are going to be, and I'm thinking if somebody's going to take – trade out, it would be the Chargers, and you have teams 11, 12, 13, all of whom need a quarterback, and unfortunately for Denver, which picks 12, they don't have a second round pick, so they'd be giving up 12 and a number one next year, and maybe a number one the year after. Minnesota has two ones, including the 23rd pick acquired from the Texans, and the Raiders are 13th, but anything you do, it's going to not just be this year. It's going to cost you next year as well. So one of them probably, if they want, McCarthy's going to have to go up to five. And then when did the receivers start? Did they start with the Giants? Did the Giants want to swap places? I don't know anybody who thinks Daniel Jones is a legitimate NFL quarterback anymore. And then, of course, the Titans. How does Rand Carthon go with that pick? Because he's going to have a choice of great tackle or maybe a great receiver, and it's tough. I remember Al Davis used to always tell people, I want guys who can put points on the board. So if he had a choice, he was taking a guy who could get the ball in his hands, and that was easy for him to do because he had Hall of Fame linemen not taken in the first round. So there's so much intrigue there until you get probably everybody assumes the Falcons picking one spot behind the Titans are going to take the player they think is the best edge rusher. Bears, a lot of people think could be a tackle, could be a receiver. But once five, six, and seven, once those are the ones that intrigue me the most because I think I know who the first four will be.
You know what's crazy to me, John? When you look at – because with these quarterbacks in this draft, to be honest with you, I'm not sold on any of them. I know that Caleb Williams has a ton of talent. It's the other stuff that I'm worried is going to get in the way, you know, his dad and the baggage and some of that. But, like, you look at Bryce Young last year, who knows? I mean, still early, but, you know, he doesn't look great right now. You look at the first overall picks the last 6 years, five of them have been quarterbacks. And to me, obviously, Joe Burrow is the best one out of all of them. The closest thing to a sure thing. Trevor Lawrence has been okay at times, but I just feel like it shows you how hard it is to play that position in the NFL. Obviously, Kansas City has theirs, and he was, what, 10th, 11th overall, something like that, and Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, it is so hard to find that guy that can truly be a franchise quarterback. You might have it there in Houston.
And most of the time when you take a quarterback that high, unless you're way out on a limb like Trubisky, who didn't start but one season, or Zach Wilson, who has just been terrible, usually if the guy didn't make it, it's your fault. Like Bryce Young, nothing that happened last year to Bryce Young, to me, was his fault. He had bad coaching. He had too many offensive coaches telling him what to do, which is the GM and the head coach's fault. He didn't have players around him, but he was durable and he stood in there. And if they have made a good choice for a head coach and they got a guy who can coach him and one guy he'll listen to, he can still be good. But you got to put people around him. And then you got to be patient because it's like a baby's being born. That baby's going to fall and get back up and fall. some more, but then you're going to watch the baby start to walk more and more until he can run. And you've got to be willing to sit through all that and withstand the pitfalls. And that starts with ownership. Do you have patient ownership? Or are they going to panic and pull the plug and start over like they did with the Panthers?
Talking to the great John McClellan this morning on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, last night I had an opportunity. It's been out for a while, but I watched the Bart Starr biography on the NFL Network. So well done. What I didn't realize in watching that is, and speaking of Mahomes, Bart Starr is the only quarterback in NFL history that's won three straight championships. And you look at teams that need motivation, and now Mahomes and them going forward. Now, they signed Carson Wentz as a backup to Mahomes. So you talk about protecting Mahomes. I mean, going in right now with the Chiefs, John, would you make them the odds-on favorite? There's the motivation now for getting three straight. Do you see everything in place for this team to go forward and compete to win that Super Bowl again?
Absolutely. They've got to be the odds-on favorite based on what they just did. And they're in a position to draft another receiver. They signed Hollywood Brown, but to me, Mahomes makes those receivers. Now, they got to worry about Rashee Rice because of what happened to him in Dallas this past weekend when he was pure dumbass. He could be in jail. He could be suspended. So that may affect that first pick. They may have thought, okay, we've got two starting receivers. We can take another position. And it is a deep draft, but they've been drafting corners, so I don't think they have to replace Snead. But, yes, they've got to be because you have the best player in the game and one of the best in history, and you have a great coach, and you have a good personnel department, and then an owner who leaves them alone. So I think, yes, would you take right now the Chiefs against the field? I wouldn't, because it's just so hard to do what they did for the first time since the Patriots, the early 2000s, and now it's trying the Packers of Vince Lombardi. And so it's going to be great to watch, especially I'm excited to see what they're doing in the draft because they always seem to get some nuggets like Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round last year.
John, always a pleasure. Enjoy these conversations. We're in draft month, finally, at the end of this month. Looking forward to that, but we'll talk next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you very much. And everything I write can be found on HoustonTexans.com. I got my name right there on the homepage.
Awesome. Yeah. All thank right. You. We will direct people to that. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. HoustonTexans.com.
It's just the best.
He is awesome.
I've got like 30 questions I write each week just to ask him, and then I get so caught up in something else that
we could spend an hour just talking about stuff now, stuff in the past, you know, everything.
I watched that Bart Starr thing last night on NFL Network, and it just like you get so engrossed in football of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and it's just like, man, it's just how powerful those guys were, larger than life. And I don't know, it's just good to talk to John who knows all these stories.
We've covered hockey. We've covered football, and now we head to the diamond. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, going to join us coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.